Welcome to the Joint STEM Initiative Podcast, produced by Queen City Robotics Alliance. Hello, I'm Kaiwen Chen, your host for today's episode. Have you ever wondered how to become the big boss of a museum? My guest for this episode is Steven. His current title is President of Carolina's Aviation Museum, working hard to build a new museum and reopen in 2022. Let's hear from him.
My name is Steven Saucier. I am president of the Carolinas Aviation Museum. And the Carolinas Aviation Museum is in the process of developing a new facility with its mission that is centered around inspiring, elevating, and educating, particularly connecting students to aviation, aerospace, and technical careers. As president right now, I have a staff of five, and I'm in charge of that staff. I'm in charge of working with and managing the board of directors. We have a board of directors of 10 people right now. And as president in any organization, the roles and responsibilities are related to the phase of that organization. And the phase that we're in right now is a development phase for a new facility. We are not an operating museum right now, but working with QCRA and other community partners, we are doing community programming with our collection staff. We are maintaining sensitive aircraft and museum artifacts, doing research for the new facility to develop the new visitor experience. But primarily our focus right now is working with the board of directors and community stakeholders to drive a capital campaign to raise $27 million for the future facility. And of course, this project, the capital campaign and the design of that future facility is in concert with the efforts of the airport and the city. So we have strong stakeholders in the community that are working with us to bring this new enterprise to life.
So, did you mention when the museum is going to open again?
The plan is for the museum to open in two phases. The first phase is to open in the fourth quarter of 2022. And then the second phase would be to open about 5 to 6 months later in the second quarter of 2023.
So what's the difference between the phase one and phase two?
Sure. The new facility, the new Carolinas Aviation Museum, is not just a single building like many museums are. It is a campus. And we are developing a large main gallery that is going to be all combined, about 35,000 square feet. And then there's a visitor center that will be about 7,000 square feet. And then we have a historic hangar that was originally built in 1932 and 33 by the WPA. And that hangar is going to be restored by the airport and by our efforts as well. And we have many aircraft that we still have, some inside and some outside. So when we open in the first phase, we plan on opening with the main gallery and the visitor center while the historic hangar, the restoration is being completed. So the first phase will be the first two buildings, the visitor center and the main gallery, and then the third building, the historic hangar, will come online. And the reason we're opening in two phases is it helps us better manage the movement of the aircraft between all the buildings, and gets us into generating revenue earlier, and it's more efficient use of financial resources.
Let's face it, museum president is not a typical major in college. So I ask Steven to talk about the path led him to the current job, also his view about future works.
When I reflect on this, There are, I have a diverse background, but often there is a thread that runs through those diverse experiences. And that thread is connected to learning and addressing education to the next generation from various vantage points and various strategies. So my education is my undergraduate is in anthropology and biology with a minor in I'm sorry, anthropology with a minor in biology. And as I was graduating, I began working with the National Park Service and was a national park ranger in Mesa Verde National Park in Colorado. And there I was in charge of developing programs and taking students on tours into historic, even ancient archaeological sites. And what I learned there is the having one foot in the camp of learning myself, of doing field research, of reading, of working with archaeologists, working with anthropologists to absorb the material. But while I really enjoyed that, I enjoyed having my foot in another camp, and that was putting together programs to engage students and the general public to disseminate that information. So I designed tours and programs to engage students. And this is where I really started to get a fascination about the museum field, because a national park is a version of a museum, if you will, particularly a cultural national park like the Mesa Verde National Park. But specific to your question, what we feel is important in engaging students when we think about the future of work, particularly in the areas of technology and more broadly in STEM. The future of work is, if we really want to empower students to be prepared for the future of work, we can't limit them to a finite set of skills and think that they're going to be prepared with that skill set to take on the future and to be marketable, to be entrepreneurial, to be inventive, to be innovative. So we have to move away from the traditional question of asking students, what do you want to be when you grow up? And think about it more broadly, because when we think about asking students what we want to be, they can define a set of things, and first of all, the things that they will define are usually very limited by their young, limited frames of reference. And we run the risk of educating them to be rememberers. Think of that, to be rememberers, not thinkers. What we really want is to make them competitive, to be entrepreneurial, to be inventive by creating thinkers rather than just rememberers. So when we ask the question of them, what problems do you want to solve? It is a broader question of first coming to an understanding of what problems exist. It sets a course for them to learn more about the world and what problems exist, to research those problems, to understand those problems, to find a problem that they have some affinity to, because then the next step is for them to start thinking about the possible solutions that they can invent. And if we take that path of asking, what problems do you want to solve? And then they go on the course of their lives to learn more about those problems. And then the next step of starting to think about the solutions to those problems, then they start to connect to their interests or skills or both. They start to connect more closely to what is important to them and what they can do about this, how they want to ding the universe, as Steve Jobs would say, how they want to make their impact in their lives, not to just be employed, but to have a significant impact in the world.
Then I asked Stephen what is his advice on getting career ready. I love his analogy on keeping the path in your hand as we're trying the possible path for our passion. Take a listen.
So my advice would be in this area. First, what I would do is view it as walking a path or walking a trail. And you've gotten to a point, or soon you'll get to a point, where you should stop and recognize that you have before you various options, various pathways that you can take. And the first thing that you should do before you even take a look at those pathways as options and before you weigh them is you should reflect on what your passions are. What really stirs you based on what you know right now, which is not a lot, but based on what you know, what really strikes you as something of interest, whether it's a problem you want to solve or whether it's something you feel you have a talent for, you have a passion for, what is it that really gets you? And I would keep that as a lens for analyzing everything you do going forward. What is it you love? And if you can't answer that question yet, that's okay. But try to come up with some options. Try to identify a few things that you at least think you have a passion for that really excites you. When you hear about it, or you learn about it, or you do it, you are just driven by it. It really gets you. Try to create a short list of those things that fall into those categories and keep that like a roadmap in your hand. The next thing you should do is look ahead at what those pathways are on your trail. Yes, one of those is to go to college, a four-year college and beyond. That is certainly a pathway and a pathway that many people take. But that is not the only pathway going forward. You could also choose to go to a two-year college, a community college, or a tech college that is a much shorter time frame, 2 years or less, to learn a specific skill because you want to get into the workforce much quicker. The other pathway could be to find a job that you'd like to do before you go to college or before you go to a community college and get into the workforce early. And that's okay too. Sometimes it's very healthy if you don't know what you really want to do to test the waters. Because by finding out the things you don't want to do is equally as valuable as finding out the things you want to do. Keep in mind that I asked you to keep a roadmap in your hand of passion, of those things you're interested in, and keep testing yourself. Read, look at documentaries, talk to people, explore the world, travel, and keep asking yourself, what really gets me? What am I passionate about? And eventually, I believe you will come to what really excites you. And then you can select which path to walk. You may choose something that requires a four-year degree or beyond. You may select something that requires a two-year or technical career, a technical degree. You may find something that doesn't need either one of those, but might just be going into the workforce, and perhaps that employer will provide the necessary training. Or you can become self-taught. The important thing is to think of yourself. Let's say your name is Jane. Think of yourself, Jane, as Jane Inc. And you're an entrepreneur. You need to design your business model, your lifestyle model, your career model that works for you. What do you want to do? How are you going to define success? Make it happen. Be your own entrepreneur.
What a great advice as we're trying to figure out what we want in career. Thank you for listening today, and we will see you next time. The production of this podcast is by Queen City Robotics Alliance with supports from Charlotte Area STEM Societies, businesses, schools, and nonprofits. Queen City Robotics Alliance, also known as QCIA, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. QCIA's mission is nurturing the future workforce by providing practical and hands-on STEM experience for local youth. QCIA is home for several high school and middle school robotics teams where students learn how to run their teams like running a business. Together, students also develop outreach programs to spread STEM knowledge and training. Encourage kids from all kinds of background to discover how to reach their fullest potential in the STEM field. QCIA is sustained by volunteers and sponsors like you. Come with your friends and family and join us to bring a better future for all children in our community. Please reach out to us or visit our website at queencityrobotics.org. Rate, comment, or like us to help others to find this podcast.